I've never really felt 100% in step with my peers. I don't see that as like a detriment. I don't think I'm meant to fit in this particular, I think, structure of the world as it is now. I think I'm meant more for like this next upcoming iteration in the next like few years as the old world collapses.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. Today's guest is novelist Netta Samaa Rotondo, whose memoir, All Water Has Perfect Memory, recently came out and follows Netta from her ancestral home in Palestine to her birth country of Kuwait, and then to the shores of Narragansett Bay in Rhode Island, the new home she arrives at when she is 6 years old. Today, I'm talking with Netta about what I call inner stuff, the thoughts, ideas, and attitudes that affect your work, even if you're not fully conscious of it. So, Netta, I'm curious, does creating work and then sharing that work with the world come easily to you?
I think depending on where I was at, like different stages of my life, like I don't think when I was a young person, I could create work, but I certainly wasn't about to share it. And I think that came in time. Mm-hmm. And I had to find like, I think safety and like security in that community. I remember finally getting into a creative writing class as an undergrad for an elective, mm-hmm. and being so excited that they finally had space for me, but then dropping it after one class because it's just like the way it felt was like, mm-hmm. this is not a safe space. I'm going to be required to share and I don't feel safe sharing. Mm-hmm. And that's really like nobody's fault. I think it was just like the early 2000s, like people weren't really going to like go around and make sure everyone felt included in the same way that like classroom communities do now, right? But yeah, mm-hmm. so I'm like big on that. Like it had to come with time. Now I like am pretty good about like, you know, I'll share wherever. But like I'm about to turn 40, so that's like a lot of practice.
Yep. What would you say is your favorite part, whether it's creating or sharing? Like what part are you just like, ooh, goody, it's this time?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I really honestly think these days it's been the sharing. I've definitely been in sort of like receiving mode now with all this love for my book that like, you know, I was told would come and was told like, oh, it's going to be so cool to like connect with people about your work. But it has really filled my heart. Like it is mm-hmm. so satisfying to like have someone tell me how much their words resonated with them and how much they could relate and how much it helped them learn. And it's just like totally lighting me up and I think fueling me to create. And it's like amazing because it feels like I'm making little like acquaintances and friends like all over the place simply by just like creating.
Well, that is so cool. I love that the piece that you were like kind of squeamish about has become your favorite. That's a mm-hmm. really great lesson. What is there any part of it now that just makes you want to hide under the covers and not come out?
No. I like it all. Yeah. I like it all. I feel like this process in particular, the fact that this memoir was my first book, I think really just like set the stage for me to like no longer have any space for fear.
Amazing. I love that. Well, you mentioned fear, and I'm curious, this is something that I ask everybody, what kinds of things does your inner critic love to tell you?
I think he used to love to tell me that it's like, you're wasting your time or you're like over-explaining and no one's going to want to like read this. This is boring. You're just the topic or you're not going to be able to keep someone's attention or this isn't good. And, you know, all the things that I think all artists like struggle with. But like, I feel like the older I get, the like less I hear it or just, mm-hmm. I just don't care anymore because it's like, I'm here just for the ride. I just feel like it's fun to try to make it interesting and fun and like put myself in the perspective of a reader. And I think just being around, like I've been around young people my entire life as a teacher and being a mom of three kids, like I have a pretty good grasp of like, okay, some folks might have a shorter attention span, right? And it's like, I'm okay with that. And it's just like a level of comfort, I think that I have now with that fear that I didn't before.
Got it.
I was going to ask if you mind me asking how old you are, but I think you just shared recently. You gave us a little bit of a preview. How old are you?
I'm turning 40 in March, Aries okay. baby.
Oh, well, happy almost birthday.
Thank you.
I'm curious, how does being about to turn 40, how do you feel like that impacts your work itself? Like, does it feel different than when you were in your 20s?
Absolutely. Like, I'm doing all the things that feel interesting. I'm not second guessing it. I'm like following wherever my heart leads me. And I just think I give a lot less like F's. I'm allowed to say that on podcast.
Totally. Are there any ways in which you feel like maybe you're out of step in some way with people that you consider to be your peers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm out of step with like the world. That's fine. I just think that's a huge part of who I am. I've come to terms with that a long time ago, that I'm just between the astrology and just like how I was raised and my life experience. I don't expect to share 100% experiences with a lot of people. I've had a very strange life experience, but where I do find the connections are very, very deep and meaningful, whether it is through telling stories and the written word or with other immigrants, other people of color. We've all had other moms, right? There has been a lot of sort of like intersecting experiences. But yeah, I've never really felt 100% in step with my peers. I don't see that as like a detriment. I don't think I'm meant to fit in this particular, I think, structure of the world as it is now. I think I'm meant more for like this next upcoming iteration in the next like few years as the old world collapses.
That's such a cool way to think about it. Can you give us an example of how you feel out of step?
Yeah. So like, you know, I'm so grateful that I get to be in service, for example, at the school that I teach in, where, I mean, most people are also other immigrant or people of color teachers. But pre-pandemic, that was not the case. I was always one of like the only or one other person of color that's like that would be an educator, right? The other like people of color would be the like lunch staff or the secretary staff or something right. like that. So things have definitely shifted. So I feel a little bit more in step. But even within that, they are, for example, like Spanish-speaking immigrants or Portuguese-speaking immigrants. Like I'm literally the only Arab, like ever. Most places that I am, and for like my entire 30 whatever years that I've lived in Rhode Island. So that's one of the things. So our experiences are vastly different. But even among other Arab Americans and the moments that I've had to be like among that community, our experiences are also extremely different. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that like I came here with my mom, right? Because my mom and dad were divorced. And that's pretty much the whole what the book talks about is my 30-year separation and absence from having my father in my life. I only grew up with having like her perspective, and then this sort of like big bomb was dropped on me, metaphorical. The other bombs were, that was when I was six, but like the metaphorical ones, when I was in 2019, when my half sister found me kind of by accident on social media and was just like, we've been looking for you for 30 years. And this was not at all the narrative that I was fed as an only child and the only Arab like child in Johnston growing up in the 90s, which was an extremely challenging moment to be a young person that was like vastly different from the community. And so, yeah, I think it's very rare. Like I will meet every once in a while people from all over the world, but they'll have those sort of, that feeling is what bonds us regardless of the reason for that feeling. And there's like a lot of us out here.
Yeah. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so happy that things are changing as well. And I'm glad to hear that it feels that way to you too. We were talking about public schools a little bit before we started recording, and that just makes me really happy.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your opportunity to get up on a soapbox if you wish. Are there collective illusions that you wish we would just wake up from?
I would love for us on the soapbox now to wake up from the collective illusion of separateness. Like, we are very connected. We are one. There are so many threads of humanity that is there to connect and bind us all. So, like, I always approached things that other people would find like scary or off-putting. I always just sort of like approached kind of with like open eyes and curiosity and asking questions instead. And when I follow that thread to the end, I'm like, oh, so like we might actually disagree on these big major things that are those flashpoints that are on like Fox News headlines. But with like behind that, like the human, when you like talk to the person, like, okay, why did you come to this conclusion? And what makes you believe what you believe? Actually, there's like, that makes sense. Like having like your life experience, when I put myself in your shoes, wow, I get it. Right. Like, I just think that is the biggest illusion is separateness. It's also, I hope everyone's like getting on the bandwagon and understanding that capitalism, patriarchy, and white supremacy is sort of like different sides of the same coin. And it's extremely bad for the planet. And it's not sustainable, whether it's in terms of protecting human life or just having an earth at all. I hope people understand that the roots of what we're seeing now, the violence, the genocide, the poverty, the increase in homelessness locally, just like all of these things that seem really huge and impossible to tackle, they all have the same root. And so when you get down deep enough, you pull at the same root, and there's a lot more of us, right, than like whatever the billionaire less than 1% class is. We're very powerful, especially when we work together.
Yes. Those are ideas that are on the collective level. Was there an idea that maybe you either inferred or were taught specifically as a kid that you've come to have an awareness of now that you are older and have reworked something that, you know, was holding you back in some way or causing suffering?
I think one of the biggest things is thinking that healing had to happen externally. I think this writing process, all writing processes, whatever project I've worked on, always has helped me heal a little, but this one for sure in a huge way. And I always had it in me. Like, I always had the ability to process my world through writing. I had that ability. It was a matter of like giving it the time and the space and making sure I was surrounded, right, by the supportive community. I have an amazingly supportive partner. I'm in a really great place in my life where my inner circle has my back. And that wasn't always true of me when I was growing up. And I was always made to feel that those were impossible things to like even want or hope for, and that I would have to continue kind of like compromising my values in order to like achieve that like safety in the inner circle. And just, that's just not true.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned in passing earlier. You said astrology, that's one way that you feel out of step with other people. And I'm curious, like, what is your relationship to astrology? How does it help you understand yourself?
Yeah, it's grown over time. I think I just learn a little bit more every time about it. And it helps me learn about myself and make sense of things, but also kind of like take ownership of my own energy and my own power that I may or may not be aware of. And so that was a big thing for me to learn. Like, I knew I was an Aries sun, but I didn't also realize that, like, I was an Aries rising and a Pisces moon. And that combination's really, really interesting, because it's like, I knew about the Aries sun. Like, there's chapters in my book about my seventh grade self getting myself into some physical altercations because the rage is real. But also, yeah, I never understood. It's like, there's these parts of myself that didn't make sense until I like learned about astrology. It's like that Pisces moon is like that sensitive. I feel into like all of these things. I'm super like attuned to all these energies. I prefer like time in nature. And I'm like, but then I have this air. So it's like, what? And I'm like, oh, okay. I get all that. I also have like Scorpio in so many different places in my chart. I understand my like Chiron or the wounded healer piece is in Taurus, which totally makes sense to me. So it's like every time I learn a little piece, I'm just like, oh, that helps me make sense. And I think just like radically accept myself more, because I think, and this is something in like the writing world that I noticed, right? Whenever like we were told to buy certain craft books or certain how to organize yourself as a writer, right? Like the advice was always like one project at a time, or do this or do that. And then I thrive off having several projects in the air at the same time. But then I was made to feel bad that I was doing it that way, because I'm like, oh, all the books are saying to do it the other way. And it's like, I come to learn that like my north node's in Gemini, and that's actually very like normal for me to do that. So yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for sharing with us these answers to some probing, some might say mildly invasive questions.
No problem.
Your inner stuff.
I did just write a memoir that was like super invasive. So this is light work today.
Nice. I'm really looking forward to getting a preview of what's coming up for you and hearing what you're currently staying up too late reading and watching when we come back for our next episode on Friday. Thanks for being here, everyone, and talk to you on Friday.
Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part three of this interview.
But in terms of like modeling my life, I just like really like to blaze my own trail. I like to do my own thing, and I might collect bits and pieces, but it was more sort of a feeling or an energy or a vibe. I'm like, all right, I want to incorporate that energy, or I want to incorporate that vibe, and I want it to feel like that for me. But in terms of like looking up to one singular like or a couple like people, like I'm not into that, and I was never really into that. I like kind of just like doing it my own way.
I'm Kate Hanley, and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Friday.